Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Now, the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, the 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in a Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh Winkowski is one strike away from gaining a victory as a starting pitcher. The Red Sox have not had a starter win a game the entire month. But that could change here in just a moment.
Could get in just under the wire.
Shriver trying to end it. Here's the 0-2 to Christian Yelich. And a ground ball. Sanchez up and over. And the Red Sox win this. They doubled their way to a 7-2.
7 hours left in the month of July, but the Red Sox get their first win by a starting pitcher. Josh Winkowski records the victory. Bullpen nails it down. On the road they go. We'll see what happens come Tuesday.
23 hours, 58 minutes or so. That's where we are with regard to the Major League Baseball trading deadline in 2022. The Red Sox, to this point, have made no additions and, just as importantly, no subtractions as they prepare for the opener of a road trip to Houston and Kansas City. They play a series with the Astros again beginning tonight at, I almost said Fenway Park, but beginning tonight in Houston with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. He is still scheduled to pitch. J.D. Martinez and Christian Vasquez still in the lineup at the moment as the Red Sox take their act on the road in this roller coaster of a 2022 season. 617-779-0985 is your number tonight, as always, on the Baseball Hour. Jim Murray is alongside. We'll open up the phone lines right away because I have a bunch of questions for you. First of all, things are happening now in Major League Baseball. Dominoes are toppling, players are being dealt, moves are being made. The Red Sox so far nowhere near the middle of the activity, at least as far as we know. So let's give you a quick recap on some of the maneuverings that have happened today in Major League Baseball. There were a couple of deals over the weekend, certainly. Luis Castillo from the Cincinnati Reds to the Seattle Mariners in what is probably the biggest deal so far of the deadline. Today there was a flurry of activity in the afternoon as we get closer again to the 6 p.m. deadline tomorrow night. Jim Murray's alongside, so let's start there, Murray. What were the substantive deals made this afternoon?
So Yankees acquire righties Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino from the A's for a couple of lefties, J.P. Sears, Ken Waldichuk, righty Luis Medina, and infielder Cooper Bowman. The Yankees also acquired another reliever from the Cubs today. That would be a righty sidearm reliever, Scott Efros. The Orioles traded Tremar Mancini to the Astros. Padres acquired Josh Hader from the Brewers. And what else might have been? I think that might have been it.
Okay, and you mentioned Mancini already,
yeah,
too,
Mancini,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, but there's some significant names in there. Frankie Montas, Josh Hader, Trey Mancini, all those guys on the move. As of now, again, the Red Sox have not made a move either way. They haven't added. They haven't subtracted. The deadline now, you know, again, a little less than 24 hours away. 23 hours, 55 minutes, we'll call it. So here's my question to all of you today as we get closer to this deadline. And again, try to take your opinion out of it. And when I say that, I mean focus on the math for the moment. You are 3.5 games out of the wild card. I think it's four in the loss column as the Red Sox get ready for this series in Houston. They played a good game yesterday against the Brewers, and they're starting to get a little bit of a trickle back in terms of players on the roster. Christian Arroyo, not that that should be considered a big piece, was back in the lineup over the weekend, actually made a contribution to them. And, you know, yesterday, dare I say, the Red Sox actually looked like a major league team. They won the game against the Milwaukee Brewers in the finale of the series. They were able to pick up a game on some of the competition in the race. And again, just 3.5 out of the wild card, 4 overall in the loss column in the wild card race. And let me just put it to you this way. The Red Sox have a lot of games in the division the rest of the way. If they can pass Tampa Bay and Baltimore, they'll get in. They will get in. They're going to play those teams head-to-head. I can't imagine that the American League East is only going to have 2 teams in the playoffs. I think it's going to be 3. Cleveland and the White Sox are also in the race. But if you get ahead of those 2 teams, Tampa and Baltimore, I think you're going to make the playoffs. And the question is that an unrealistic goal here as you get down the stretch? Are the Red Sox cooked? Or do you want them to, you know, do you want them to sell? I know how Jim Murray feels. Murray, you want to reset?
They should be sellers. And I think that they're a team that's a fence sitter. Like, if you look at just both leagues, you've got like 15 teams that should be buyers, and then 3, the Red Sox are one of them, that are like sitting on a fence trying to figure out what the hell to do. And I think that's them, Baltimore, and San Francisco in the National League, or I think are 4 or 5 out, whatever the hell it is in their wild card standing. But it's around the same area where the Red Sox are. They're kind of an older team. It feels like they're going to be moving on from some of these veterans like Eovaldi at the end of the year anyway, J.D. Martinez. So I think you've got to think for the future and try to get a return on these guys. But I don't really think they're going to go on any kind of realistic run. San Francisco, I think, should probably be in the same boat. The Orioles, young team, could use some playoff experience. I think they should be buyers. The Red Sox, as presently constructed, they're going to be selling off pieces this offseason anyway. Try to get a return now.
Okay, and Baltimore actually sold today. They sent Trey Mancini out. And again, not that, Mancini is a, I don't know what to call him, a huge piece of the Orioles, and the Orioles are earlier than people expected. The fact that they're in it is even a miracle. So let me tell you this. I was at Fenway Park over the weekend. Friday and Saturday were borderline disasters. Okay, that's probably a little strong, but the Red Sox played poorly in those games. They made a lot of mistakes. Friday night was actually a pretty competitive game for the most part. They brought Brian Bayo out of the bullpen. He was pretty good. They hung in that game, and then they get to Sawamura in the 9th inning. He put a guy on base with a walk, and the next thing you know, the Brewers get 2 runs. You lose the game 4-1. The next day, and by the way, when I say that, I would also tell you that that's been true all year long. That has happened all year long. The Red Sox have put themselves in position to win a game. They're competitive in a lot of these games that they've lost, and their bullpen blew it. Saturday was, they fell apart. Okay, they gave up 9 runs in that game. Again, the bullpen couldn't keep it close. And so what was a pivotal point for me over the weekend, and I want your thoughts on this as a fan as well, a pivotal point for me was when Trevor Story, when it was announced that Trevor Story had a hairline fracture in his hand or his wrist area, closer to his wrist, from the hit by pitch that he had in Tampa back a couple of weeks ago. Trevor Story is now out for the next 2 weeks at a minimum. He's being shut down for 10 days to 2 weeks, which means he may not start playing or even trying to play until that time, and we all know how that goes. Every time a guy has had a setback, he comes back, he's going to pitch, then he's not going to pitch, or whether we're talking about Chris Sale, James Paxton, can he play this week? No, he's been pushed back. So here you go, same sort of thing. So now you have no Trevor Story. You have no Chris Sale. Nathan Eovaldi is performing at something close to what, 75, 80%? So I have come to the conclusion, sell. Now look, when you say sell, everybody assumes that that means sell off everything you have. Fire sale, get rid of all the pieces. Trade Eovaldi, trade Vasquez, trade Martinez. So 2 things here. One, I'm not looking to give pieces away. The idea of just selling for the sake of selling, that's stupid. You don't just take anything you can get. It has to be something of value. And to his credit, this is what Chaim Bloom has said. I'm not going to make a deal just for the sake of making a deal. It's got to make sense for us to do. Good. But if it does make sense, I have no issue about trading any one of those guys. And Martinez feels like he's at the top of the list. He made comments this weekend to the effect of that. It certainly sounded like he expected to be gone by 6 o'clock tomorrow. That's number one. But number two, and I admit, this part makes me uneasy. Let's say the Red Sox do sell. What is your level of confidence right now that they can get it right? That they can actually make the right call, trade the right people, and more importantly, get the right pieces back. So, Murray, you've been saying sell, sell, sell all along. A lot of people out there agree with you. What's your level of confidence that if they do sell, they'll get it right?
Oh, I mean, 10 being the most confident, like right in the middle, 5. I mean, you got to get something. If some of these guys are going to walk, again, your Martinez's, Vasquez's, Evaldi's, I feel like you got to get something in return. But what that return will be, especially just basing this on the Mookie Betts contract, how can you feel super confident about that?
Okay, you say a 5, Murray. Mine's lower than that.
Yeah.
And I'm just basing that purely on what Chaim Bloom has done here in making deals since he's been the GM, but the chief baseball officer. So let's just look at them. The Mookie Betts deal, loss. The Andrew Benintendi deal, loss.
Yep.
The Hunter Renfro deal, loss. And I would argue that in those three deals, not only did the Red Sox lose the trade, I'm not sure they really got anything out of them when you really weigh it out. You got Alex Verdugo in the Dodgers deal. Mookie Betts, and you trade Mookie Betts, and the best you get is Alex Verdugo, who sometimes feels like he's at best mediocre, other times worse than that. So now, is Verdugo a big league player? Sure. And maybe he could be your number 7-8 hitter on a championship caliber team. But I don't think Bloom has done a great job in these deals anyway, which is more reason to keep these players and maybe try to sneak into the playoffs. So 617-779-0985. We'll start there. And Chris kicks us off tonight. He's in Hartford. What do you got, Chris?
Yeah, Maz, you did a great job running down the disappointments of what Heim has done. But there's a lot more. You're talking about sitting and not signing Vasquez. We need Vasquez, okay? Look around the major leagues. The guy should have made the All-Star team this year. You make him happy, you got to make Bogarts happy, and Devers. Heim is like, oh, for the last 12 moves. How much longer till this guy's got a job? That's my question. When's the tipping point? You read the book. Have a great day.
Okay, so there you go. The Chaim Bloom part of this equation is a significant one. You know, he's been the general manager of the Red Sox now, or again, I'm sorry, the chief baseball officer. It's just I'm not marking the title. You can call it whatever you want. I'm not offended by it, but, you know, the old school is the GM, okay? The guy making the building the roster. We all love Garrett Whitlock, but the trades? Bloom, this whole diamond in the rough mentality, and again, ownership brought him in, okay? So I get it. But the idea that a great GM finds diamonds in the rough, I think is only a small part of the equation. And the whole diamond in the rough philosophy and mentality, if you think about it, what players really can you find? How good are they if you can find a guy, let's call it dumpster diving or in the scrap heap, that you can add to your operation? So you succeed on those. Great. How many times are those guys going to lead you to championships? So, David Ortiz, we can say, was dumpster diving. David Ortiz was a non-tender free agent from the Minnesota Twins that was released from Minnesota. The Red Sox picked him up, and he turned into the Dominican Babe Ruth. How many times do you think that's going to happen over the course of Major League history for any organization? It's not going to happen all that often. The core talent, the superstar talent, has got to be on your roster. So I understand Chaim Bloom came in at a time when the Red Sox didn't have a farm system. They needed to rebuild the thing from the inside out. But the deals he has made, it doesn't feel like has really helped the depth of the talent in the Red Sox organization, which is an important part of the story if we're going to talk about the trading deadline here tonight. So that's where we're going to start, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls when we come back, and we'll continue to update you on any developments with regard to trades and lineup changes potentially with the Red Sox if they happen leading up to tonight's game. All of that tonight on the Baseball Hour.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Now more baseball and more Mazz.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm just worried about, you know, who we're going to be facing in Houston and getting ready for that series, honestly. Everything else I leave up to Heim and leave up to the front office guys. I can't control it, or there's no point in worrying about it.
That is J.D. Martinez, who actually came to life yesterday at Fenway Park. And I say actually not as some sort of snide, wise-ass comment. I say that as he's starting to hit again. And Martinez was out for a little while there with a back issue, came back. His timing was terrible. He looked like he was just completely behind everything. In his last at-bat on Saturday, he had a deep fly ball to right field that I thought was a good at-bat and a good sign. And then he came out yesterday and he looked terrific. Hit a ball off the top of the center field wall, hit a double down the right field line, had another well-struck ball to right field. He looks like he's starting to dial in. So now this raises sort of an interesting question. Because J.D. Martinez comes back and hits. And you keep Vasquez and Bogaerts hits. Well, now you've got, you know, a few guys in your lineup there that are big leaguers that are producing this year. And Rafael Devers is coming back to the lineup tomorrow. So I said over the weekend that the loss of Trevor Story, the absence of Chris Sale, the issue with Eovaldi, I did look at the whole thing, and I say issue in that Eovaldi's not 100%. But I look at the whole thing and I say, if you get something for these guys, move them. But you have to get something, okay? So the whole thing, buyer or seller, not to sound like Chaim Bloom now, you know, that it's one or the other. But there is a connotation that comes with selling that people look at and say, well, this means that it's over. And so you've got to be careful with that, because if you sell and you're selling just to get rid of the contracts and the players, well, that's no good. I mean, if the Red Sox move J.D. Martinez because they're looking to get under the luxury tax, well, shame on them. Screw that. I don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. And if his salary is some sort of deterrent in making a deal, then eat the salary and get something for him. The money, don't start trying to save money now if that's what the goal is. That would be stupid. But the idea of the confidence level in Bloom, What is the confidence level in Chaim Bloom? And I want to go back, and again, we'll revisit a lot of those trades and some of the moves they've made and how those pieces look and whether or not that the, because again, I think that's a reasonable, you know, it's a reasonable reaction to have and say, yeah, I want to move the guys, but I don't trust Bloom to do it. I don't think that that's wrong to say that. Matt's in California. Matt, go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going today? Thanks for taking my call. You know, as embarrassed as I've been, I've been watching the team for over 30 years. I mean, as embarrassed as I've been the past month, I mean, how many times have they gotten blown out? Not even just lost, but absolutely doors blown off. As embarrassed as I am for this team, I absolutely do think that they should add pieces. Like you said, they got people coming back. They're a couple games out. The team's in an absolute malaise right now. I think if you add some pieces, even though my confidence level is low, if you add some pieces, I think it'll bounce them back in the right direction.
Okay, and again, Matt, the distance they have to travel is short. Okay, now again, I just want to tell you, because I'm going to be upfront about this. I'm ready to move on. After seeing what I saw over the weekend, I'm ready to move on. So if I can get something good for J.D. Martinez, I'll do it. Now, again, what defines good? I don't know. There's a kid they're looking at with the Mets who's one of their better prospects, or at least in terms of ranking. I think he's the number four prospect in the Mets system, who projects as a power hitter with a high strikeout rate and might be a DH, doesn't really have a problem position. I don't love the profile of that player. I'm tired of that kind of player in the major leagues. Franchi Cordero is a guy with a high strikeout rate who has power, doesn't have a position. Alex Benellis, whom they acquired in the Hunter Renfro deal. Similar kind of guy. High strikeout rate, power. He's hitting .220 at AA this year. So I'm good. I want baseball players is what I want. I want guys who can play the game. Before we get back to your calls, Murray, let me ask you a question about J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
What is his legacy here in Boston? In other words, they signed him to a five-year contract for $110 million. How will you remember J.D. Martinez in Boston? And how do you think he should be remembered in Boston?
He gave you three good years. You got a World Series out of it. Like,
was it worth it?
Yeah, it ultimately was worth it. 18, 19 last year were good seasons for him. Some were shaky. This year was shaky. I thought 2020, albeit obviously a weird season and a weird year for all of us because of the pandemic, was kind of gross. I mean, he was one of the guys that I thought clearly quit on that team within like the first week of that season happening. But 18, 19, I mean, the numbers were ridiculous. The power was real. So ultimately, no, he was worth signing.
Okay, so look, again, I tend to concur with that because I look at it and I say, you know, the whole idea, J.D. Martinez was a game changer when they got him in that lineup.
Right.
In 2018, they needed a real bat in the middle of the batting order. They lacked it in the absence of David Ortiz.
And that was a time where it was like, you should have got Stanton, and I was with you. Like, it was him or Giancarlo Stanton. I thought Stanton would have, in his power, would have been a better fit here. But ultimately, and especially that year, Martinez was the better signing.
If they had brought in Stanton that year, they wouldn't have won the World Series.
Correct.
And I know they won 108 games. They would not have won. J.D. Martinez, I think, hit 330 that year. Okay, 330. So now I think if I were a team out there buying, I would look at J.D. Martinez and go, oh, he'd be a good fit for us, actually. We don't need him to hit third or fourth. We need him to hit fifth or sixth. And he's got great postseason resume. His OPS in the playoffs is about 100 points higher than it is in the regular season. He is a professional hitter who takes hitting seriously, and you get him in the big spot against a pitcher, he'll be prepared, he'll be ready to go. When he's locked in, he's good. He's still good. Is he what he was 5 years ago? No. But he can still help a team. And so if I were a team out there and I could get that kind of bat, I would do it. Eric in a car about on the deadline in Chaim Bloom. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. I was reading... Chaim Bloom, he's gotten 21 prospects or 22 prospects back in the past 3 years on all the little deals and all they did. Where are these guys? How come no one is here to play? You know, you trade off Mookie Betts. The Dodgers had all kinds of talent. The Dodgers wanted them. Why couldn't they get more than Alex Verdugo? Because that's as far as I'm concerned. I like Alex Verdugo. He is what he is. He's a good third outfielder. He's a good sixth or seventh hitter. That's a good piece. But they got two garbage pieces back for one of the best players. Benintendi, nothing. Pavetta is the only deal that I like that he made. That Benintendi deal is driving me crazy. That kid was a good ball player. And to take him out, he could play, he can run, he had a little power, he could hit for average. He just had a bad year, and they let him go for nothing. I'm just okay, tired of watching nothing come back.
Yeah, so Eric, this is the issue. This is the issue. If you're going to bring in a guy to rebuild your operation, fine, no problem. And that's why Chaim Bloom was hired. The whole idea was, well, he can bring the Tampa model here, the Tampa way here, and he can replicate it in Boston. You'll be able to rebuild the operation from the inside out. Great, I get it. Totally logical. Has it worked? So the Pivetta deal, that deal was Heath Hembree and Brandon Workman, who went to Philadelphia, and you got Pivetta and you got Connor Seabold. That deal, yes, positive deal. But now I will tell you, did you really give anything up in that deal? You gave away a couple of, you know, I would call seventh inning guys. Hembree might have even been more like a sixth inning guy. And I know that's a very sort of old, conventional way of thinking, but those guys are limited. Those guys weren't eighth and ninth inning relievers. And I know that Brandon Workman had his moments there, but the bottom line is, those guys were seventh inning pitchers. You give up nothing. You give up nothing in that deal. That was a no-lose deal. Really. Apparently, we have breaking news. Go ahead.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, just in from Jeff Passan, the Houston Astros, who the Red Sox are playing tonight, are finalizing a deal to acquire Christian Vasquez from the Red Sox. Again, Passan goes on to say here, Red Sox playing in Houston tonight, so Vasquez presumably will just walk around the stadium to join his new teammates.
Okay, there you go. So this was, and Murray, does it say anything yet about what the return is from the Astros?
No, nothing yet.
Okay, and this was, so the first domino has fallen. According to Jeff Passan of ESPN, Christian Vasquez traded to the Houston Astros. The return is unknown.
Two
we'll try
minor
to get
league
that
prospects,
for-
according to Mark Berman, blue check mark of Fox 26 in Houston.
Okay, and Jimmy, does it say the names of those prospects?
It does not.
Okay, so a couple of prospects coming from the Astros.
It's a loss.
Who, Sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
It's a loss. I mean, Bloom is trading for prospects. He lost this trade.
Okay. So, again, you can see the confidence level of Jimmy Stewart and Chaim Bloom. Houston has a good system. But then again, so did the Dodgers. And you got Alex Verdugo, Jeter Downs, and Connor Wong. So, Christian Vasquez gone, no longer a member of the Red Sox. And as Jim Murray just said, could conceivably walk across the field or down the concourse, the tunnel in Houston, walk to the other side, put on a different uniform in the other clubhouse and play against the Red Sox tonight against the guy he was supposed to catch.
Do you ever remember? Has that ever happened during
yes.
all your years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And in fact, someone brought this up over the weekend or last week, Murray. When the Red Sox traded Nomar Garciaparra in 2004, one of the guys that got back was Doug Minkiewicz.
Right.
The Red Sox were in Minnesota at the time. Minkiewicz, I think, walked over and played, you know, joined the Red Sox. Now, I don't remember, you know, again, I don't remember, did he come over that night? Did he leave with the team? But they were in the same city.
Okay.
That I do remember. And so there you have it. First piece of news. Murray will catch up on details here as we go. In fact, headlines here right now. But Christian Vasquez, no longer a member of the Red Sox. We'll continue with your calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a base hit into left. One round in. Verdugo firing home. And it gets by Plawecki. It bounces over the glove, and another run is in, and they're on at second and third.
Well, Sawamura is getting exactly what he deserves in this inning for getting himself into the jam in the first place.
0-2. That pops out of the mitt. Runner's going to advance. Plawecki couldn't handle it. Well, it should be a pass ball. And a runner down to third.
I mean, not the kind of start you're looking at, or looking for, rather, if you're the Red Sox. This ball, Plawecki just doesn't handle. He's setting up outside, but you got to grab this one. That's a pass ball. Brewers have a man on third here with nobody out already.
Trying to get back. And, oh, he is picked off. Got him. He is out.
Duran leaning the wrong way. Oh, no question he's out there. And then again, no slide back into the bag. You're making it easy on the first baseman there. And I know he was fooled. Well, you got to dive back into that bag and go for that back corner. Try to sneak your hand in there.
Okay, again, comedy of errors for the Red Sox here of late. They were better yesterday. Played a relatively clean game. Wasn't perfect, but it was better. They got themselves a win. I actually liked the lineup they had on the field yesterday, but the mistakes they made, Jaron Duran picked off, didn't slide into the bag. And breaking news out of Houston, Christian Vasquez on the verge of being dealt to the Houston Astros. He has played his final game for the Red Sox by all accounts. I don't know that the team has said anything yet, so we will try to get you that information as soon as we can. And also, another piece of breaking news that I don't think should go without mention here, and that is that the Atlanta Braves have signed third baseman Austin Riley to a 10-year contract worth, Murray, what was it, $212 million?
Yeah, $212.
Okay, so here's what I want to know, Murray, and then I'll explain why. What will the contract pay Austin Riley at the end of the deal?
So... here's what I got here. Riley will make $15 million next year, $21 million in 24, and $22 million over the remainder of the deal. The club option for 2033 is worth $20
million. Okay, so there you go. $22 million a year over the final 8 years of the deal. And I'll tell you why that is important. Because Rafael Devers is going to be up at the end of next season. And so if, you know, and remember, Jose Ramirez of the Indians also signed a deal that was in the $20, $21 million range. Riley got $22 million a year. And I would submit, Austin Riley is pretty damn near close to as good a player as Rafi Devers is. In fact, you might be able to argue he's better. He's younger, or about the same age, I should say. Okay, Riley's 25. Murray, do me a favor. Can you just look up Devers' exact age?
Sure.
Riley's a good fielder, too. And last year, 33 homers, 107 RBI. His OPS was 900. This year, 29 homers, 68 RBI. His OPS is 964.
He's 25. He'll be 26 in October.
Okay, and excellent. So they're almost exactly the same age. Riley will turn 26 next April, so he's just 6 months younger. Devers has a longer resume, but it feels like the market for these younger third basemen is coming in at $21-22 million. And Ramirez and Riley are both good fielders. So the Red Sox might be catching a break here, is my point with Rafael Devers. They took a lot of heat for offering the 8-year, $168 million contract that Matt Olson got with Atlanta as a first baseman. But now Riley got a similar kind of deal, at least in terms of AAV. So that's something to keep track of here. You know, can the Red Sox go to Rafael Devers at the end of the season and say 10 years, 250, are we going to do it? Like, is that going to work? So just something to keep in mind. John's in Charlestown. John, go ahead.
Tony, Jim, thanks for taking my call. Tony, I have zero faith in this guy, mostly just going by the inability to fill the proper first baseman. But I'm ready to blow it up for this one reason. I actually don't believe that the blow-up started last year. They caught lightning in a bottle for the first half, and then it fell apart because they didn't invest in the team. And this year was even worse. They didn't improve anything. So I'm like, let's just blow it up. I want to see this guy's vision. I'm ready to see what he does, what Hein Bloom's Red Sox look like so they start winning. What, 3 years from now? 4 years from now? 5 years from now? Let's get going now. So
okay, so John, but John, I don't want to sacrifice the next 3 years. So this teardown mentality of let's blow it up for what? What's coming? Like this is one of the things that agitates me. You know, first of all, the Red Sox should never have to blow it up. And let me make this part clear, okay? Because I said this today on Felger and Maz. I'll repeat it now. The fact that the Red Sox are selling. And Christian Vasquez apparently is gone. He's going to the Astros. Should annoy the crap out of you. They were in game 6 of the ALCS a year ago. They are a big market team. Their farm system felt like it was at a point where they were competitive enough where they could have spent some money in the free agent market and continued to develop players. Now, I know they went under Trevor Story. We'll see whether or not that was a short-term or a long-term move, depending on what happens with Xander Bogaerts. But the Red Sox should never be in a quote-unquote complete teardown. We're going to rebuild it and try to win 3 years from now. So I hate that sort of mentality. I can't stand it. And I don't want to give away pieces for nothing. So as soon as we get names on what the players coming back for Christian Vasquez are, we'll try to give you some sort of scouting report or profile on them and give you an idea as to whether the Red Sox get anything back. And further, let me add this. With Christian Vasquez, of all the guys they could have dealt, might be the biggest sign that they are, quote-unquote, giving up on the season. Who do they have to catch? Kevin Pulecki's not an everyday player in the big leagues. Connor Wong, who was acquired in the Alex Verdugo deal, Connor Wong is not an everyday player in the big leagues. They don't have a catcher, or at least not a regular one. So the fact that they are letting go of Vasquez at this stage, independent of Martinez, independent of Eovaldi, is a bad sign. That's a bad sign as it pertains to this season. Now, again, we'll let you know what they got. Now, I'm going to ask Jimmy Stewart or Jimmy Murray. We haven't seen any names yet in terms of the players the Red Sox might be getting back in that Astros deal.
Not that I've seen, no.
So this is something to just consider. But, like, you know, the idea of, well, we don't need Bogaerts. We got this one always goes, it just drives me bananas. We got Marcelo Mayer coming. Tell me, what is Marcelo Mayer, and when's he going to be here? Because nobody knows yet. Tristan, and the other thing is, when you bring these guys to the majors, what are your expectations for them? Just when they enter the majors, they are not necessarily ready to be centerpiece players. So you have to have a nucleus already in place so you can ease these guys into a role. Like, it may be 5 years if Marcelo Mayer turns into the player everyone thinks he can be. It'll probably be 5 years before he gets there. Xander Bogaerts was not a superstar in 2013 or 14. He wasn't even close to it. So that, you know, again, it's not just as simple as, well, let's blow it up and see where we are in 3 years. And the other thing, the talent that Bloom is bringing in, how much of it is really good? We like Mayer because he was the number four pick in the draft. Tristan Cassis, who was drafted under Dombrowski, really isn't Bloom's guy. But even so, you have him in the system. Bayo, who again isn't Bloom's guy, but he kept Bayo. I like Bayo's arm. He looked good over the weekend. But the trades that he's made and the talent he's brought in from other organizations, these guys have not been good. Frank is in Boston. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, hi. To answer your question, I have no confidence in their ability to execute, but I would still sell. And now that they've sold Vasquez, you can't stop now with Martinez and Eovaldi. But more importantly, the fact that you're even raising the question about confidence in their ability to execute raises a much more important and meaningful issue than the deadline, which is, do they have a GM you believe in? And I don't. I think it's poor tactically, poor strategically, poor talent evaluation, and poor getting it. So let them sell now and find a new GM at the end of the year and see what he can do with the pieces that are here and the budget they have.
Okay, so Frank, I don't think they're going to get a new GM at the end of the year. Okay, now, I will say, though, that if they're in the same spot a year from now, oh, then Chaim Bloom's going to be in trouble. Chaim Bloom will be in trouble if a year from now we're in the same spot. How could he not be? I mean, really, let's look at it. Again, the Pivetta deal, you got Pivetta, who's a serviceable big league pitcher. But is he a front-end guy? The answer is no. You didn't give up anything for him, but that trade's a win. Benintendi, you got Cordero, who can barely play in the big leagues if he can at all, with all due respect. And you know what? The whole thing at first base, and I'm guilty of this too, it's not Franchy Cordero's fault. It's not. But you also got Josh Winkowski in that deal, who is an end-of-the-rotation slash swingman. He's that kind of pitcher. Winkowski, again, is not a type of front-end talent that is going to win you any sort of championship. Doesn't mean he can't play in the big leagues, but I don't think he's anything special. In the Hunter Renfro deal, you took on Jackie Bradley and his money, so you got much worse offensively in right field, and in the process acquired two minor leaguers, both of whom got to Double-A and are struggling. So, and I don't even have to get into the Mookie Betts deal where you got completely pantsed. So again, Bloom's not early in the process anymore. Bloom's about halfway through his contract, I'm presuming, that he got about a five-year deal to start. I haven't seen some sort of appreciable uptick in organizational talent that he was solely responsible for. He got Marcelo Mayer with the fourth pick in the draft, meaning it was the highest the Red Sox had ever picked because they sucked so bad in 20, they got a high pick. Like, I almost don't have I almost can't give him a lot of credit for that. I think any GM could have taken Marcelo Mayer. Peter's in a car. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. Peter, go. Sorry, I'm on my way. Yeah, sorry, I'm on the way to New Hampshire to place my bet on the Astros tonight. But yeah, you got to sell everybody off. Like, I don't know. You can't play with Christian Vasquez in the lineup, and you can't play with Connor Wong. Kevin Pulaski sucks. You can't have a lineup that is just going to be all AAA guys. Like, I was at the game on Friday. The place was packed, and you got freaking Franchy Cordero playing third base or playing first base. But you got to sell everybody off. Chaim Bloom sucks. I don't know why they would want to get prospects either way, because...
Yeah, but they don't. They shouldn't sell everybody off. Again, so this part I disagree with, because I said earlier in the day, sell. Sell. But I only want to sell if you're getting something back. And at the same time, I admit, I don't have a lot of confidence right now in Bloom based on what has happened here in the last couple of years.
They might be getting something back. Reading a tweet here from Mark Feinsand, Blue Check Mark, MLB Network. The Reds are finalizing a deal to trade Tommy Pham. It appears to either be the Mets or the Red Sox.
Okay, Tommy Pham. Okay, and Murray, what are Pham's numbers this year? Any idea? I can look that up, too. Sorry.
Hold on, give me
238 average in 91 games for the Cincinnati Reds. 11
okay,
home runs,
so,
39 runs batted in.
Yeah, again, Tommy Pham to me, and I'm not telling you, Tommy Pham's 34 years old. Okay, so you know
just it's a little guy too.
And if you remember, he's the guy that got into the fight with Jock Peterson early in the year and slapped him in the face over the fantasy football stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so Tommy Pham is not a piece that necessarily will excite people. You know, and I'm not. Look, the bottom line is this. Okay, you want to sell off parts, sell off parts. But you got to get players back. And I'm okay if they're minor leaguers, but they got to be legit. They can't be Connor Wong and Jeter Downs or Alex Benellis and David Hamilton. Chaim Bloom needs to start making some noise here. He needs to start making some noise. And apparently, some of the noise in theory has started, potentially. Christian Vasquez out the door, and my guess is this is not the last of it. But we shall see what happens here in the next 24 hours. We'll continue with your calls and maybe have more info for you on the players coming in this deal from Houston that the Red Sox apparently have made for Christian Vasquez. We'll do that next.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go.
No match for a little...
Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench.
Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Station.
Now more baseball and more Mets.
Okay!
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You might be going across the way. Have you heard anything yet?
I think so, yeah.
How do you feel about being traded to the Astros, Christian?
It's a business. It's a business, bro.
So there you go, a little exchange with Christian Vasquez, who was taking batting practice, apparently, in Houston for the Red Sox when news of this deal came down. Spoke with members of the media briefly near the dugout before apparently being whisked away by members of the Red Sox public relations staff. And I've said I don't know how the Red Sox are going to handle the catching situation here, what will go forward, but there may be a name that we missed in terms of being able to step in. We'll bring in Dave in a car. Dave, what do you got?
Listen, there is a catcher down at Worcester. His name's Ronaldo Hernandez. He's batting .279. He's got 10 home runs. He's got a slugging percentage of .462. They're going to bring him up. That's the catching solution.
Okay, no, and I remember when they picked this guy up. I think they got him out of the Tampa organization. I'm trying to remember who they got him for. And so this is my oversight, and I don't know whether he can play or not. So I'll tell you that right now. And again, he's not a highly rated prospect, so he could be one of these 4A guys. We'll have to see how it happens when he gets up to the big leagues. You know, Murray, I don't know if you could do a quick search on Ronaldo Hernandez trade or...
Yeah, well, in the meantime, that Tommy Pham is coming to the Red Sox.
Oh, he is. That has also happened. Yeah. Okay, so what is the deal there? Do we know?
No, it's just Jim Bowden, blue check mark, Pham to Red Sox, and then that was doubled down with Jeff Passan, Red Sox finalizing a deal to acquire Tommy Pham from the Reds.
Okay, so Tommy Pham coming to the Red Sox, Christian Vasquez going to the Astros for, it sounds like, a couple of prospects. Yep, we'll get an idea there. Obviously, there's going to be a flurry of activity there coming out of Houston tonight, and I suspect there will be more in the next 23 hours or so as the Red Sox approach the Major League trading deadline, which, again, is tomorrow at 6 p.m. Tomorrow. So you still got about 23 hours there. Tommy Pham this year is hitting .238. He's a career .261 hitter. You know, he's got some power, hit some doubles. And I say some power, he's got 11 home runs this year, 15 last year, has hit as many as 23 in his major league career. He is a guy who, you know, bats from the right side, throws from the right side, plays in the outfield. So he has been with the Rays, shocker, and has moved around quite a bit. He's also a guy that is a little bit of a, you know, a wild card. Had a very tough upbringing, if I remember reading that story correctly. And if you remember the story about the fight between two players involving fantasy football, Tommy Pham is the guy who slapped Jock Peterson in the face because of a dispute over fantasy football transaction during the season, which is absolutely comical. But a guy with some intensity, which you know, may or may not be a good thing if you are interested in that sort of thing. Sometimes there's a fine line there. So anyway, that's where we are. Christian Arcand is coming up next with, I'm sorry, Jimmy Stewart told me. Is it McCone who's with him, Jimmy?
Tim McCone.
Okay, Christian Arcand and Jimmy Christian Arcand and Tim McCone have you for the balance of the night. They'll keep you updated on anything developing with the Red Sox, including information regarding the prospects they are getting for Christian Vasquez. And we will catch you tomorrow on the baseball.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.